Gilbert is a financial advisor with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
7:45, slightly earlier than we are used to talking to President and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services, Laureen Gilbert. She's in an airport right now awaiting a flight, but we are glad we've got her on. A very good morning to you, Laureen. How are you today?
Good morning, Ed. Great to be here. Thanks for starting a little bit earlier.
No problem.
I was anxious to talk to everybody, given market conditions. Didn't want to miss the segment.
Yes,
for all
ears are on you this morning. Absolutely. So first of all, you take a lot of flights. I can't even imagine your frequent flyer mileage right now. I can't even imagine how much you've built up in frequent flyer miles.
I love those frequent flyer miles. In today's environment, you know, maybe we can start with this. You know, with flights have gone up significantly in cost.
Right.
I'm sure you've heard of that and seen that. And people are feeling it, especially this summer, as they're traveling. And one of the tips for flying it with the airlines right now is to use those miles to upgrade into first class, because it has become prohibitively expensive to actually purchase a first class ticket. Basically, your economy tickets are what first class tickets used to cost, and then the first class tickets have gone up really like three times, at least in my, that's just anecdotally and what I've seen. I don't know the actual number, but it's gone up substantially. So with that, one little tip would be most of your airlines will allow you to purchase an economy ticket, to call up the airline and to use miles and some dollars to upgrade your seat. So that's, I have been doing that quite a bit.
Oh, what a great hint that is. That's an absolutely cool hint. By the way, once you fly first class, you almost never want to fly any other way.
Oh, it makes it tough. Well, especially with the current environment, the airlines are packing it in with their flights. And so, you know, for people concerned about COVID and wanting to stay, you know, maybe a little bit more distance from people, right, that's where, you know, it helps, because in an economy, you've got three people in a row. First class, you have two people in a row, sometimes even one person. So, yeah.
Yeah. There's a great episode of Seinfeld, by the way, where Jerry gets to fly first class, Elaine is back in coach, and we see the difference. It's a magnificently funny episode.
Oh, how funny. I vaguely remember that. I'll have to watch it again. I love that.
Okay. So the big important news today, everyone, all eyes are on the Fed today. Tell us what's up. What are we expecting?
Well, it'll be interesting to hear. And so what the markets have priced in and why we've seen declines over the last few days was all around the inflation number that we saw last week, hitting another 40-year high. And just as we were hoping that we would have hit peak inflation, we didn't. So we're seeing those numbers still go up. Obviously, the Fed, in order to combat those inflation numbers, are going to raise rates. And the idea is raising rates then brings down inflation, hopefully, and also would also bring down growth. And what they're having to balance is how fast do they raise those rates and how much do they raise the rates to not throw us into the next recession. And so what the markets have been concerned about is that with that inflation number, are we going to have a 75 basis point increase and maybe even 275 basis point increase instead of 250 basis point increases, which is what the Federal Reserve indicated. Now, I'm in maybe a little bit of the minority camp today in that, you know, because people, as you've been hearing, Ed, people are now saying, oh, it's going to be 75 basis points. Right. That would put the Fed in a precarious situation because they have come out publicly and said it was going to be 250 basis point increases and then they were going to wait and see. So I'm of the mindset that even with the higher inflation number, that they may just stick with 50, at least for this one, not to throw more confusion into the public arena and more confusion into the markets and more panic in the market. So we'll see what they do. I am hoping that they stick with the 50 basis points because then the market would be appeased and, you know, we might even see a little bit of a rally around that because we've seen so much of a decline. But the message to investors, let's just translate to investors. We're in a bear market. And that's going to last a while. It's not just a quick fix. It's going to take some time. But it's not catastrophic either, Ed.
Okay. A couple of questions. I want to address investors in the bear market here in just a second, but I want to go back to inflation and the fact that it was at 8.6 when we got the news last week. If in fact they raise rates, as you say, by just the half a percentage point, and it doesn't go substantially lower, what's the expectation of how much lowering that inflation rate can go?
Well, the real question is it, you know, can it, the Federal Reserve cannot directly impact inflation, okay? What they can do is slow down growth. And so the question is, can we slow down growth and at the same time slow down inflation? So inflation is clearly persistent. It is there. We said all along it was persistent, never thought it was transitory. It's persistent, but there's certain elements of it that are persistent, and those will eventually start to come down. We've had a longer issue with supply chains because of the Chinese lockdowns, because of the Russian-Ukrainian wars. There have been systemic issues there that were unexpected and now are part of the equation that we just have to factor in. So all of that to say, just to make it clear, there's no direct correlation. But what the Federal Reserve wants to do is raise rates, wait and see how much does that help, right? So that's why they said 50 basis points and then another 50 basis points. That's a full 1% right there. If they do 75 and 75, that's 1.5. You know, they have to balance out not throwing us into a recession. And that's why I'm saying I think it's going to be 50 basis points.
Okay. What a fine line to have to walk.
Not an enviable position to be Powell right now.
No. We actually, as I envision him, I envision him the guy on the high wire with that pole to keep you balanced. It's
right.
Like, okay.
That's a great visual. That is exactly where he stands on that wire. Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Chairman Powell on the high wire. When we talk about bear markets, and I got a question from a listener a few days back that they were, it's going to hurt them in retirement, is what this listener said. Talk to us about retiring into a bear market. What to do? What to avoid?
So there's a couple of things. Thanks for asking the question, because I've been trying to talk to our clients a lot about this. So first of all, when you retire, you need to know you're probably going to see three recessionary periods at least during the rest of your lifetime. And you need to be prepared for that, which also means three bear markets, right? Because half the time a bear market turns into recession, half the time it doesn't. But you need to anticipate that you could have probably three bear markets during your retirement. So you have to know that that's just a reality. The part that hurts somebody is if you enter into retirement at the time of a bear market and you need to start immediately taking distributions. It's called, the sequence of return risk. So what that's saying is your sequence of return risk means that if you immediately retire and the market is down, you need to make sure that you've gone through that Monte Carlo simulation and that you're still going to be okay. This is where Monte Carlo simulation is 1,000 iterations of the market returns and utilizes and anticipates bear market.
Okay.
And looks at your sequence of returns and looks at if you were going to go ahead and start taking money out now. So it doesn't have to hurt a retiree. In other words, I'm telling people they can still retire right now, but we have to run the Monte Carlo to make sure they're still going to be okay. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. So essentially you're letting your investors know you got to bolster your liquid reserves. You have to review and reduce your spending. You're doing those things.
Well, for some people, they don't have to do any kind of changes. Oh. It just depends on, what we've run in the Monte Carlo. But that sequence of return risk is a really important factor. And sequence of return risk means in the first few years of retirement are your greatest risk to your portfolio for long-term being able to take money out. And so what's helpful, let's say somebody's retiring right now, the best thing they can do is have a year's worth of money for retirement on the sidelines. So that they're not having to take money out during a decline.
Right.
Now, if we run the Monte Carlo and it's still okay, then that's fine. But for most people, for many people, having either, let's say, an annuity payment that's paying them out a guaranteed rate of return in retirement, guaranteed income stream, that one's fine to take out because they've got a guaranteed income stream for life. So we'll utilize that. And then we're very careful where the money comes from in the rest of their portfolio as far as what they need for the year. But there is greater risk. So your listener who asked the question is absolutely right in that there is a greater risk in retiring in the middle of a bear market. But it doesn't mean that they can't retire. It means that we need to run the numbers to make sure that it's going to be okay. And we need to be careful where the money comes from if we're going to send them the money out of the market.
I get it. Thank you. Beautifully explained. Thank you. And who came up with the whole Monte Carlo comparison? I picture James Bond walking through a casino in Monte Carlo now.
Oh, how funny. You know, I know I've looked at that before. Let's talk about that on our next call.
Okay.
Because I don't remember why it was named that or the history of it, but I'll look it up. But I do know the history of bull and bear market. Do you want to hear that?
I definitely want to hear that.
So, as so many things, Ed, the idea of the kind of the nomenclature of bull and bear markets came out of Britain. Why is it everything came out of Britain, it seems, right?
I guess
because our founding fathers came from Britain, but it came out of Britain in the 18th century. And the idea of bull was being, you know, excited about buying into a market. And the idea of bear was that there was a saying, you know, of somebody buying, of selling the bear skin before they actually owned it. So they would, you know, in a sense, like a short sale, they would sell it and then they would go out and buy the bear skin to then sell it. And so the idea of it potentially going down and not making money. So on the bull, the idea of getting excited and making money and the bear of potentially losing money. And it came out of Britain in the 18th century.
I absolutely love that explanation. Thank you so much for that. And it makes perfect sense too. It makes perfect sense. It really does.
Right.
Yeah. We have a lot to thank the British for. The Beatles, we got fish and chips. We got all kinds of great stuff now, bull and bear market. So thank you.
That's right. That's right.
So Laureen, where are you off to today?
Well, I was just going to say I'm heading towards England and then to France. So I will be my first big overseas trip since the big, you know, the whole pandemic. This trip was planned last year and was delayed till this year. And so very excited to be able to go. And just for our investors to know, I do every single day. I am in touch with our office. I never am offline. And even though I'm out of the office, I'm never away from what's going on. And I keep track and I actually have a time of day every day that I can call the office and make sure and check in and see what's needed from me.
You are the least vacationing person I think I know. I swear. Even you're going to Europe right now.
I go places, but I still work.
Right.
I still am always working.
Well, I want to see at least a couple of action shots of you at the Eiffel Tower and maybe you in the center of town in London telling people about the bull and bear thing.
Okay, I'll send you a picture.
All right. Well,
send a pic.
How do our listeners find you?
So 949-748-1177 or wealthwisefinancial.com.
Laureen, as always, thank you so much for being with us this morning and travel safe. We look forward to your return.
Thank you, Ed. And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
I'll look forward to it. Thank you, Laureen.
Thanks so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Straight up at 8 o'clock, that was Laureen Gilbert, WealthWise Financial Services and the WealthWise Moment.